Good morning. Looks like people have been looking at our monthly bulletin and they found out I am speaking. So many decided to stay home today, I think, look like it. But anyway, good to be here to open the Word of God once again. I started just a few weeks ago from the book of Isaiah chapter 1. We will go back there again and today also and continue from where we left off. We did look at a general look at the book itself and some of the divisions that the book brings to our attention. And I won't go back and repeat all that, but just want to remind a few things. We looked at the very few verses of the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1 to 10 we looked at last time, and we are going to look at from verse 11 through the 17 or 18. In that passage we looked at that in this chapter itself, five times we see God speaking. God is speaking directly to the people of God. If someone talks to you about something, and we can easily ignore another human being, but when God speaks, we better pay attention. We saw that in the first chapter, first few verses. The Lord brought three things to the attention of the people of Israel: their sins. When God brings our sin to us, sometimes directly through the Holy Spirit, sometimes through some others, sometimes through the Word of God, God brings our sin to our attention. That is what the Isaiah is bringing at the beginning few verses. The Lord said one of the sin they have done, the people of Israel, is you do not care about my care for you. That means nothing to you. They ignore the care that God has been providing them for the many years. We read in verse 2, I nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. That is a very sad thought to know, that you bring up children and they will rebel against you. And this is exactly what people of God was doing to the Lord himself. He made a claim that I own you. You are my creation. In verse 3, we read, the ox knows his owner and asks his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. They forgot that they belong to God. That was another sin the Isaiah bringing to them. And the third thing is, they also ignored the character of God. The character of God is forgiving, as we were reminded even this morning. He is a forgiving, long-suffering God. Even with this sin that they are showing forth by their life, God's long-suffering. And as we come to verse 9, we read, if it is not my compassion and long-suffering, you should have been just like Sodom and Gomorrah, says the Lord. That is a very fearful thought. Judgment and punishment can come if we are not listening to God's voice. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more, and the whole head is sick and the whole heart faints. So those are some of the serious thoughts in the first 10 verses that we looked together. But we are going to continue from verse 11 for today. Let us read verse 11 through 18. If you have your Bibles, please open it and follow through. Verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord. Again, the Lord is speaking there. I am full of the burnt offerings, rams, and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of the he goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. Now listen carefully what the Lord is saying here. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of the assembly, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting of your gatherings or coming together. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Verse 18, now he bids the people of God to come back to them. And verse 18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Very serious passage that Isaiah is bringing to the people of God. And I saw several applications that we could draw ourselves on a personal level in our life. He says, I am full of your offerings. We could stand back as human beings and ask the Lord, what's wrong, Lord? You are the one who gave the commandment. You are the one who said, bring these offerings and this, that offering. You are the one who told us to do this and that. And remember all this. We are doing that just as you asked us to do. What is the problem? Well, if you read very carefully, they were doing all that, but they were themselves were far away from in their heart. So we see three major problems that he brings to them. First of all, we see that God despises religion. These people were simply practicing religion. Their heart was far away from God, and he despises them by every word of the language. Why he despises it? If you read, you are paying attention. But number one, their actions are rituals without reality. Rituals without reality. And number two, their sacrifices are without obedience. And number three, gifts without the giver. Therefore, God says, I hate your religious activities. Why does God reject them? Rituals without reality. Israel was doing every type of religious activities in those days, and the Lord condemns them it through Isaiah. It is a serious thing, he thought. We can ask God, well, we are doing everything you told us to do. We could claim this morning and say, we do this in remembrance of me, and I come every Sunday and do this. What's wrong? What's wrong? But the question remains, where is your heart? That was the problem with these people. There is some reference about the religion itself in James chapter 1 verse 26. We read like this: if anyone among you think he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. We'll come to that in a moment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5, Paul also says, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. This is what Israel was doing. They were doing religiously everything possible, going to the temple as required, without failure. Sometimes some of our doings are very, very similar. We feel like somehow I have to go to church. I don't know about you. I was wearing that shoes many times. What others will think if I don't go? Even when we come so casually, unprepared, and consistently, sometimes late arrivals. We come very casually to the presence of God, simply because we think that these religious actions are required by God, and our actions doesn't prove that we are very serious about it. All of the above that Israel was doing consistently was dishonoring the Lord. And the Lord made that very clear to them. Many have lost the feeling. They are going to the very presence of God and worship God of the universe. What is the anxiety that brought you this morning here? Or last Sunday, or last 10 years, week after week? When you come to the presence of God, is it because that I have to do this religious action? Somebody made reference this morning at the beginning. Let us not be doing this because this is what we do on a Sunday morning. This is what Israel was doing. And Lord, God hates it when your heart is away from it. Sometimes when we come to the presence of God, our behavior itself is very, very clear. Our dress, the way we dress, our conversation, our attitude, our lack of preparations before we come, our conduct while we are here, all should reflect our desire and knowledge and acknowledgement of the very presence of God Himself. We can be doing all this right, but if our heart is away, God hates it. Sometimes I stand here or there or somewhere, I standing and reading or something, I can see in the middle of the Lord's Supper, people are doing, why? Because they didn't get enough sleep. Last night they were doing whatever until 1 o'clock in the morning. Early morning they rush into and get out and come to the church. Now they are sleepy. I have seen people sit there and nod during the worship. Lost the seriousness, just coming for the religious purpose, and God hates it. You may not like me for saying that. It is true, God despises our religious actions. Sometimes when I tell the truth, I get in trouble. After all of the above, the real test of your religion is from Monday to Saturday, how you conduct yourselves. You can show your face well and do good behavior here. Your heart could be somewhere else. But how about Monday through Saturday of your life? That is where the real test is. Now, in this passage we read from the book, from James, James brought one particular subject, we are not going to expound on that at this moment, but I want to make one comment. Throughout the scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, the Lord made it very clear to take care of the vulnerable and helpless community among us. Widows and orphans are those on earth, especially among Christians. Our heart and our desire to care for such is an evidence of our love for him. If you look at overall, because I deal and work with such people, such needs on a daily basis, almost every day of my life, there is some consideration and some help I know that goes to the orphanages. But the widows are the most despised, may not be despised publicly, by not taking care of them, are the ones who are ignored throughout the world among Christians. Very recently, I was talking to a brother who runs a place, an organization called Believers Relief Trust. You may have heard about it. They try to help widows. Brother said, we have so many widows that we are helping. We are only once in 2 or 3 months were as able to help 200-300 rupees or 500 rupees, some very minor help. And there are several hundreds that are waiting to be added. I said, why? Brother, we have no money. People do not care about widows. Some of them are wives of missionaries and evangelists who died, and the widows are left behind and no one to care. That is true. Our actions and our thoughts, when we sit and enjoy the pleasures of the world, sometimes I feel guilty when I go to a restaurant and eat. This is just me. I feel guilty because there are hundreds of people not with one meal. Here I am sitting and enjoying, half of them I'll throw it away. Where is your heart and my heart for the orphans and the widows? I am asking this because this is serious. In the Old Testament also, I am not going to bring all of those references. Where is your religion, not only on a Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, throughout your life? Where is your heart for those who are suffering, God's people of such? I talk to people, I ask for money. I have no shame for asking money, not a penny for me, but for God's people. I was talking to one man, if I say the name, you will all know. He said, I worked hard for this money, he said. Brothers and sisters, is your religion really true? My time is running faster than ahead of me. Externally, Israel was doing everything right in the sight of men. They were there at the temple, doing everything. Internally, their heart was far from him. They are in the mode of thinking. They are not breaking any rules. They are thinking that if somehow I can fulfill these external commandments and requirements and show up on at the temple and the gathering of God's people for us on a Sunday morning here, I have done my duty. This is what they are thinking. But the Lord of heaven, he was looking down and understanding what their heart was. If we are not willing to obey him and his commandments, we are only causing dislike to him by our doings. So the number one reason why he hates religion is that there are three things we looked at: sacrifices without obedience. God says, I am full of it. Can you imagine God coming and telling you, I'm tired of your offerings? Everything is done right. That is what God is telling them. And the third thing they were doing is gifts without the giver. They are bringing their offerings. They are bringing their tithes. They are bringing their giving, the things that are required to give. But where is the giver? He is not there. Giving gifts without the giver. And God looked at it and said, I hate your giving. Well, let me say one thing about the giving. When it comes to just on the one part of the giving, is the financial giving, there is we are to give ourselves, the entire of ourselves. I heard the story of a man was to be about to be baptized, and he kept his hands above the water like this, and the rest of the body went in. And somebody asked, why did you do that? Hey, after this one, I had to go hit somebody. I don't want to baptize my hand for that. Yeah, he was not willing to give the all of him. I wanted to keep something part for himself so he can do something later on. All of us are in that same shoes. I laughed at that story. But isn't that very true for us in some cases? We want to hold back some things for ourselves so we can do things that is dishonoring to the Lord. I was told in some study, there are three groups of people on a financial giving side, is those who give above and beyond what the Lord requires of them. And number two is those who give just enough to satisfy the Lord. And then there is a third group, which is majority of Christendom today, and those who give very little. I heard a study, I don't know if it is true, I did not verify it, I'm just going to let you know what I heard. I heard the studies that believers who have grown up in circumstances and experience in their own life or in their parents' life, God's hands of provision they enjoyed from the parents' life, they are the ones that are the least givers. I hope that is not true. Yeah, I just heard the study. It is very potentially very, very true. Giving of what, how much, or when and where you are giving is our habit that we build up knowing and honoring the Lord. It is immaterial if you do all that without acknowledging the giver of all, knowing that everything, every good things come from above, and submit, therefore it causes us to submit ourselves unto him. Then the third thing the Lord said in that passage we read together is, I hate your assembling. Their assembling is an insult to God, says. He says, don't even come to my home, my house. When the Lord Jesus was here on this earth, we know the story very well. He went to the temple. What was going on there at the temple? Broke his heart. He got angry. He threw away the tables and the salesmen from there. Brothers and sisters, many churches have become business centers today. If the Lord was here physically, he will probably do the same action. If the Lord has to do something similar here in ELBC, how will the scene look like? I'm not going to say the rest. What is the solution for this? Is there a solution? God is telling these people of God, Israel. Is there a solution? Yes, we will come to that in a moment. It is not only in the book of Isaiah. Reading through the Old Testament, book of Amos seems very similar in the chapter 5, verse 21. We won't spend too much time. I will just read those passages. It says, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Very similar expression in Amos chapter 5, 21. The words used by God is fearful. He says, I despise your feast days and your gathering. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings in Amos, I will not accept them, says the Lord. Take them away from me. Listen carefully. Take them away from me, the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of the viols. You can have a beautiful, praise God, I love singing. But you can have a very beautiful presentation, but if your heart is not there, God says, don't do it. He says, take it away from me. I will not hear the melody. If we come across, then we come. The Lord bring us the greatest invitation for repentance. verse 16 to 19. Let me repeat those verses. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Here comes the widows again. Judge the oppressed. Who are the oppressed? Most likely the orphans and the widows. And plead for the widows. Now he extends an invitation. This is your condition, O people of Israel. I am extending you an invitation. And this is the verse in verse 18. Listen very carefully. This is for every one of us in this room. Whether you know the Lord, whether you don't know the Lord, whether you think that you are a Christian or whether you think you are not a Christian, if you are not sure, here is the verse for you this morning. God is inviting you very forcefully through the book of Isaiah. Come now. Not tomorrow, not tonight, not tomorrow, not next week. Come now. When God calls you, God calls anyone to come, is always now. Now is the expected time we read. Our relationship with Him, our invitation by the Lord Himself, it is not for later, but for now. He's saying, come now. That is a very, very, very serious word I read in the entire passage. Come now. And I hope you are who, if you are listening to me this morning, God is calling you to come. Wherever you are, He knows. He is simply asking you to come. It may be different from every one of us. The call is for everyone, but the extent and the amount, our situation and where we are and where we are to go is for us is very different. It is different for you, it's different for me. Thank you, brother. Okay, listen to that verse 18 again. Come now. Please don't put away. I'm not judging everyone, I am judging myself. I'm looking at my own life and say, God is calling me right now. He says, come. And let us reason together. When you come to God, you are not left alone by yourself. You are not left to hear the judgment of God. God is not calling you to say all kinds of bad things to you. God is not calling you to proclaim His judgment upon you. God is not calling you to tell you, look what you did. He says, let us reason together. That word, reason together, is a very gentle word. Two people very lovingly, carefully talking to one another. This is what God is asking. Let us reason together, says the Lord. That word is also important because He is the one who is taking the initiative. We are not asking, going to God and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. But here God is saying, you come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Then He tells you where you are. We use this verse in many cases when we preach the gospel. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you are. You may not be the worst sinner on earth, but whatever conditions of your life, wherever you are, for Israel it was the sin that they were in the first 10 verses was terribly bad, as we know. He says, even if it is your sins be scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We all enjoy snow. When I see snow or hails here in Dallas, I go on out and pick it up. Have you ever tried to look at them? How clean, beautiful, color. We don't, yeah, it is cold, you may not like it, but take a deeper, closer look at it. How beautiful it is to look. It's probably the most purest form of water you can get. Those ice that is coming down. God says, I'm going to make you clean, just as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The pure wool, if you have seen it, it is as similar to the snow. In its color, it is its texture, it is soft, and there is no impurity, wool in its purity, same as the snow. Then he gives an option. Listen here what God is saying. He gives them an option. If you be willing and obedient, the option is yours. This morning, God is calling you to come to Him. Whatever situations of your life and my life, He says, come, we will deal with it. Let's reason it together. But if you be willing and obedient, wow, somebody jokingly said, I am a little fearfully quoting that, God is like a gentleman. He doesn't force upon you. He says, come. Brothers and sisters, He is calling you this morning. If you are a person, young people, or anyone who is here, who do not know the Savior, He is calling, come. And let us reason together. Then the option is up to you. The next verse says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You will enjoy the good. You will enjoy the very presence of God. You will enjoy Him. Problem with me and you, sometimes we don't enjoy God and His presence. Therefore, we come so casually and we just sit before God. Brothers and sisters, I am speaking to myself in many cases. And therefore, the call is still extended to us. Verse 20, quickly. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, and the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Again, God is speaking. If you don't come, option is yours. If you refuse and rebel, which most majority of the world today will do, you can go and preach the gospel. Our brothers have given out the gospel tracts yesterday. Perhaps several hundreds of them. Majority of them will just reject. Majority of them will not read. Majority of them will not listen and willing. I hope there will be at least some who will take it and read and call, listen to God's call. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Sometimes God can look at our heart and say, here is a person, was a very righteous person, a God-fearing person, but things have changed. Heart, his desire and commitment to the Lord has changed, become everything casual. He's comparing, these people are between the murderers. We may not be that to that level, but our heart can be very, very far from God. So therefore, this morning, the message to you and for me, I'll give you a few minutes free this morning. God is calling you. He says, come. And if you want to come, do it now. If you want to postpone it later after the meeting, it will not happen. It never happens when you postpone. He says, come. Come now. Let us reason one to another. I'm sure the Lord has spoken to many of you. Not today, I'm talking over the weeks and months from the preaching of the word of God from here. Asked you to come, but you put it away and you never came. I hope that is not true for anyone here. Brothers and sisters, our God is a zealous God. He will not put away with simply religious activities on a Sunday morning. Again, that's Sunday morning only for some people. Some brother has called them SMOS. You know what? Sunday morning only Christians. There are many in this world today. Even that, it has become nothing but a religious activity in the presence of God. So the conclusion this morning, I'm going to conclude here. We should review our so-called religious activities of life. It's for you to do yours. You can't do mine because I know what is mine. I don't know what is yours. Please review the religious activities of yours. Is our sacrifices acceptable to the Lord? It's for you to look at it for yours, and I will do mine. Does our rituals have any reality in it? We follow through ritualistic activities in the spiritual life. Is there any reality in it? If it's not, one day when you will get to heaven if you know the Lord. One day when you see Him, it will be found as a loss and your time is over and you cannot fix it after that. Now it is time we can correct it for ourselves. Obey the call of God and say, come now. Now remember, God despises religion without reality. Don't forget. When God calls your attention for repentance, we must listen. If there are unsaved ones in this room, very likely it can be, God is willing to cleanse you in verse 18. What kind of cleansing? Just some makeup? No. When God cleanses you and forgives you, He makes it 100% clean and you will be forgiven completely. This morning, the same God who forgave the sins of many of us in this room, if you do not know the Savior, is calling you, come now. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father, we give you and thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we can consider together these words of the scriptures. There are many things that we could look from here. We pray that it may have spoken to someone in some way or some fashion this morning. We pray that they may open the call of God to come and come now unto Him. Pray for the blessing upon the people of God, all those who are here, many who are away for one reason or the other. May our time together in the fellowship time may bring forth blessing one another and glory and honor to your name. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.